Good afternoon, everyone. This is Susan Dene, and you are listening to the Know You're Crazy Talk Show, where we are talking about emotional elevation in the raw. What is emotional elevation in the raw? It is simply the removal of the filters which have held so many of us from truly expressing how we really feel about living this life day to day. Whether it be finances, romances, professional, or even our health, we all have a little bit of crazy to dive in and get to know. As a certified high-performance coach to corporations and individuals, as well as a woman helping women recover from alcoholism and addiction for nearly 20 years, I not only will bring you my insight and experience, but that of experts and everyday individuals like yourself who have figured something out about this emotional elevation. Please join me one episode at a time as we find solutions together for our crazy. Remember, this journey of life is meant to be enjoyed, and you deserve that because you are worth it. Hey everyone, this is Susan Dene, and you are joining the Know You're Crazy show, where today Dr. Pat and I are talking about how to stay sane during an insane situation. I mean, you want to talk about know you're crazy. That is a skill set, Dr. Pat, and I believe it's one that is taught over time. Some people may get this naturally. I don't know. But what do you do when an insane situation happens? So.
I know what you don't do. You don't get drunk over it.
At least I don't.
Just saying. Just saying, I'd be like, let's do the don'ts first. Before we do the do's, let's tell everybody what not to do. Okay, because we know the things we're not supposed to do. And even though we right. know them, we do them anyway.
Well, I think, I think we do when we don't have the, that's why I was calling it a skill set. It's almost like a skill set. It's a muscle that needs developed. And so for this, you know, starting out the conversation, some of the items that we're going to be talking about is one, both of us might have an example of where we've had to personally demonstrate sanity during an insane situation. I have a great example just as of yesterday, life served me up one. And the very first thing, yeah. And so the show is about six strategies to help stay sane during insane situations. There will be solution in this show. If you're tuning in and you think you've lost your cool one too many times, or you don't like the person that you're being when something happens that sets you sideways, your insane situation may not, you may think it shouldn't be that way. Actually, it's whatever's going to trigger you into losing your cool, losing your calm. And for some of us, it may take more if we've been doing this for a while. And for others, it may be because the milk spills and that drives us crazy, right? So starting out yesterday, this is why this topic came up for me, was yesterday I go into the living room. I've got a big ice water and it tips over. And as it starts to go on the coffee table, I'm seeing my laptop. So I grab my laptop and I believe I saved the laptop, which was good. And I'm cleaning it all up. No big deal. It's just water. I sit down to work on my laptop and the laptop won't charge. It's got about 20% left and I'm doing everything to charge it. It's not charging. I'm trying different outlets. I'm wiggling the cord and then I'm plugging in, you know, it's a C thing. It's not a USB. It's a C charger. So plugging in the iPhone, seeing if that'll charge. No, that won't even work. So I'm trying everything. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, I think I'm going to lose my laptop today.
Oh boy.
Right?
Yeah.
So how big of a deal is that for some people? I don't know. But for me, you know, my laptop right now is holding my job, really. It's my life, right? Like I've got recordings, I've got presentations, I've got, you know, all the stuff that comes with that when you depend on your laptop on a daily basis. So what is going on there? I've got 20% battery left. It's not going to last. And now it's game time. The very first thing I want to talk about is the first strategy around staying sane during an insane situation, because that can trigger some fear. That can trigger some insanity. And so what is the very first go-to thought that you have when something insane is happening? And how do we learn to navigate that very first thought so that we can start the ball rolling in a positive way during an insane situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it, you know, part of it really shifting a mindset, as you say before, and talking about these strategies of understanding there is a first thought, right? I mean, Susan, how many people do you know that are not aware that there actually is like a thought, a first thought? There is, like, the minute that that happens, they're not even aware that automatically tick tock, tick tock, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that thing that's about to go off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. And so what is the process that can help with that? Right. What is the process that can help with that so that you don't lose it? You don't pick up the laptop, throw it across the room, freak out, start calling everybody to talk about the drama that you've got, that, you know, everything's falling through. You know, how do you avoid going down the dark tunnel when something like that happens? So whatever that is for you, whatever that is for you, what is the first go-to thought? And do you know it? Because here's the thing. The go-to thought is either going to be methodical and strategic, or it's going to be emotionally irrational. That's the difference, right? So for me, yesterday, I was thankful that I had some perspective. You know, and life deals perspective. I like to say it right sizes us sometimes. You know, I just got back from a visit back home, visiting an elderly parent. You know, so I've kind of had a glimpse at what's important. And I'm not saying that my laptop's not important, and I'm not saying all my recordings aren't, you know, all that stuff is important. But when you get a glimpse at what truly is important and needs to be prioritized, it really can right size you in the moment so that you can bring things into perspective to not blow it up, right? So for me, what happened yesterday when all that happened, I think I had three choices. I had one. I can call the computer support, call Dell. I can call Dell, get them on the phone. How long is that going to take? You know, so it's all quickly happening. Am I going to be on hold? Is the laptop going to lose? You know, am I going to totally lose my laptop? Second thought, I hope to hell this is backed up, but I need to check that out. And I need to start moving files over to a USB or something immediately. And I need to be able to prioritize those files quickly. So what do I absolutely need? Right. And then the third one was just, you know, curl up in a ball, cry yourself to sleep and deal with it tomorrow and avoid the whole damn thing. So those are the options. Right. And, you know, I started transferring. I started trying to take advantage of that last 20% and hoping to hell that it was backed up. But, you know, and I got transferred what I could, and hopefully everything was backed up. I'm talking to you right now, so we're doing somewhat good.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it on its last leg, or what are we doing with that thing?
Oh, it is totally on its last leg.
So okay.
If my speaker goes out, it's because the connection is really temperamental right now, and I'll save all the details. But if the webcam goes from webcam to laptop cam, you might hear a shift. But it's plugged in, and it's got a charge right now. The guy came to the house, but he has to come back. But so right now, it's kind of like I, you know, have you ever had to like put a bunch of pieces together and hope the glue sticks just long enough to get you through?
There's no question about it. That I think is the story of my life right there. That I think what you just described, that's it. Isn't it interesting what yesterday was? Because it was the kind of day, it was exactly that kind of day for us. Mm. Out of left field. And it's kind of an out of left field. You know, I say out of left field. What does that mean? That means that you didn't really plan to have that situation, did you?
No.
There was no neglect involved. And I had something similar happen. But I learned a few things along the way. You know, I had a mentor once and passed away. And then I've had other mentors. And they used to make me do things. Like, you know, there are some mentors and coaches you can hire. and they'll talk to you and they'll say, okay, what you really should think about, you know, no, I work with people that say for the next 70 days, I want you to say this 70 times a day. Now, I have a number of things, but this was the one that I remember. I can't remember. I think it was Dr. John DeMartini. And he said, you have to say this. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is.
Yep.
And I remember him saying that to me, and I'm telling you, I wanted to throw something at him. And then I tried it, and it was one of the hardest things that I think I've ever done. It was actually harder than the 70 times a day thank you God thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was easier. But something like smack up in your face, right? Yeah. Like when your camera disconnects during this live show, try it, Susan. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just it. Go ahead. We can try that. But, you know, this is what you're sharing today, because there are solutions. There are remedies. Mm. There are remedies for our insanity.
What you just said was another strategy. So we'll put that strategy number 7. I should count these as we have this conversation for this hour. Because for somebody to say that to themselves, it's not bad. It's not good. It just is. Right? There's a strategy. You know, so often strategies, you know, you can think about, oh, we've got, you know, a flow chart and when we've got, you know, all these strategic, you know, all these things and these steps. But sometimes the best strategy is just a metaphor or it's just an analogy. It's something as simple as it's not bad. It's not good. It just is. It just is. And in that moment of the emotional dilemma, I don't even say emotional dilemma, of just the dilemma, are you able to withstand and hold and have that conversation with yourself? And that really is the trick. So first strategy, what happens to you when something happens unexpectedly, something big that you perceive as big, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, you do perceive it as bad, maybe in the moment, heavy, whatever it is. But what is your first go-to thought? You take the situation. What are you used to thinking? How do you emotionally react when something knocks you sideways? Now, if you're somebody who gets upset about spilled milk, then that's okay. That might be what sets you sideways. Some people really like their environment nice and neat, and coloring outside the lines or having something disarray or some disorder around them drives them crazy. That might be it. So what's happening internally is the question. And if you can reflect back for just a moment and just say to yourself, okay, what is my first go-to thought when things happen? Am I thinking it's hopeless and it's irritable or it's somebody else's fault? Or am I going to a thought that says, what can I do to make this situation better? Because I believe a lot of people have these strategies already. They already have these skills. We just don't talk about it enough. You know, we just don't talk about it enough. How can we help one another with these type of thoughts?
You know, I think part of it is you've got to be willing. I think this is for me. And it's part of the strategies we're going to talk about. We've got to be willing to take, a ride down the alleyways of those deep, dark places within ourselves sometimes that a busted laptop will take us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a spilled cup of coffee on your new rug. Or any number of things. But I think what you're talking about today for people is learning how to understand what goes on inside of us, right? And then what do you do with it?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do with it? All right. So after we talk about that, so we've got the, what's the first go-to thought that you go to? Is it emotional upset? Is it blame? Is it anger? Or is it simply, what can I do to help the situation? And we've got another little tool in there saying, this isn't bad. This isn't good. It just is. And the other one that I mentioned was, have you right-sized the situation? Have you right-sized the situation? Which just simply says, similar to the it just is, but putting things into perspective of how important is this scenario really compared to my sanity, right? That's a question that we've learned in recovery to ask ourselves when it comes around expectations and things like that. But how important is it really, this situation, compared to my serenity or my peace? I will tell you what was really interesting yesterday about the laptop, doing what the laptop was doing. When I was in a fury to try to find out what was backed up, what do you think I thought about?
What?
Pictures. Family. Pictures and family.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It is. Right? Everything, when it came down to it, the first thought was pictures, right? Yeah. Pictures. All right, Dr. Pat, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ready. We're going to go to a break, and then we will be back. For anybody listening, hopefully some of this is resonating with you. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to call in. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always go to the website at susandanae.com. You can send me an email from there or instant message, Instagram, Facebook, Susan Denae. And Denae is D-E-N-E-E.
Yeah, because your website's on a cloud.
That's right.
But it's also backed up.
And thank God for OneDrive and Dropbox.
All of them, right?
All of it.
All right, great.
I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Velara company. I've been using the Velara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hey, everyone. This is Susan Denae, and I'm here with Dr. Pat. We are talking about staying sane in insane situations. We started out by me just telling my story of my laptop going kaput on me yesterday, which simply just meant, what the hell? Where's everything going? What am I going to do? And how did I respond in that situation? The difference between having an emotional meltdown during the insane situation or having a methodical strategy. And have you arrived to that? Do you have examples in your life where you have been able to pause during the insane situation to ask yourself a few questions or to be able to reel it in. And right before we went to break, I was talking to Dr. Pat. I said, you know, the one thing I was, when everything's happening, you know, the laptop is my business. It's whatever, right? But you know, the first thought, the first fear I had of losing were the pictures, pictures of family. That was the right sizing, right? That's the right, what does that tell you, right? Like when it really comes to push or pull, it's the relationships in your life that you truly cherish. And, you know, the reason why that was so like stood out to me was because, you know, why is it okay to, or not even okay, but why is it beneficial for somebody to learn how to monitor that emotional moment when something insane is happening? Because usually, the answer that I will give, usually during that moment, we've got family around us. We have somebody watching. If you're a mom or you're a dad, you've got kids around you and they are witnessing your stuff, right? They're witnessing it. And it's not that it's not normal for children or people to see us go crazy every now and then. That is normal. But are you satisfied with the person that you're being when you show up, right? And so, you know, the pictures came up and the thought of, you know, about 2 weeks ago, I didn't realize on my laptop that I had had some videos of my kids when they were babies.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that I had transferred those over from somewhere. And so that was my, that was like the main fear when all of this happened.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was like hoping that I, you know, so I'm just going into gameplay. I got 20, I felt like 20 seconds. It was 20%, but the battery's fried. So it was just going down fast. But, you know, being right-sized in the middle of it really was beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I like the medical model.
What's that?
I love the medical model. I do. Think about it. Think about it.
Okay.
You're going in and you're going to get a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of, I don't care what it is, but you're going in and they're going to do a little cut and a little snip and a little this, a little that. Maybe they're taking something out. Maybe they're putting something in, and you go in and you don't like the fact that you're going in and there's something in the surgeon's place. You don't like the person at the desk. Right?
Yeah.
And you go in and you're already afraid because, hello, I'm coming in here and it's in the middle of COVID. Ain't nobody in there with you, but you, you're crazy. And the one person in the entire hallway at the desk, and they say something to you and they set you off. And then you take your sorry butt into the room where the doctors, the nurses are all dressed up, and you take that sorry attitude because somebody at a desk said something to you, brought out every fear monger in your body, and you start to rant at what? The nurse that's going to give you that stuff that's going to knock you out. So you yelling at her. Then the doctor comes in. Hi, how are you? And you're saying, go, you know what, yourself to the doctor, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But what's their motto? Do no harm. So you're in there in your total crazy, and then they're going to give you drugs, and you think you're going to shut up from that. You're not, because you brought all that crazy into one room in a in an environment that has nobody but the people that are going to take care of you, right? And you are just crazy. You are bat, you know what, crazy on them. And can you imagine if you walk into a room full of people? Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some, you know, I mean, come on, you do that in the restaurant, you know what they do to your food. I'm not even talking to you about that, but I like their little model. Do no harm. Mm. See, if we can remember that, do no harm, it requires you to do two things. One, it requires you to have an understanding of what harm is that you can do to another. For example, that surgeon got my putting in a new knee for me. And I got to say, my doctor was not like this. I was not like this with my knee. But imagine him in there and they're all tired. And I did yell at him because they changed the music on me. I asked for music and they thought I was out and they changed. And I did yell. But imagine that you're in there and all they can think about is your angry, rude self. And instead of gently rolling you on your back, they hurl you like a 500-pound tuna. You see, despite what we do to some people that serve us, they have an ethical standard. I wonder what that would look like if we knew that. But you see, in order for you to do that, they're trained about what do no harm is. We are not trained. We have to understand that if I am going to do harm to myself or to another or to a laptop or to anything else I want, it has consequences. So who doesn't want to learn how to manage that part of their crazy?
Well, and one of the strategies today is protect your area. You got to go into protection mode. You have to protect the area. And that's exactly what you're sharing about with the be aware. Am I externalizing harm to others through my verbal words, through my actions or whatever? Or even better, what happens when we internalize it and we do the harm on ourselves that is so detrimental, right? And so it really comes down to, so you got to protect the area. You know, I was fortunate yesterday because I didn't have any family members home with me when this was happening, other than Apollo and Lulu, my pups, right? But, you know, I'm just running around like a crazy woman trying to find chargers and do what I got to do. But I was just very aware of it was almost like a sounds crazy. It was almost like this excited thrill thing. Like I had a deadline. I had 20 seconds go, you know, and it's like a game show. Like, oh, my God, I'm in my own little world, running around the kitchen, looking for outlets, trying that, watching the little battery, you know, the whole time. Oh, my God, I got it, you know. And it would have been comical, but if there would have been people around me and I wouldn't have been able to move smoothly from one room to the other, or if somebody would have been asking me questions, you know, in the middle of my little thing, what would that have looked like? And so you wanted to say something.
I got to tell you, I know you and I, we go to these motivational things. I mean, since I started the show and even before that, I would go to these motivational people, right? They get up on the stage. What are there, like 1,000 people in the audience? Yeah. And they're like this. Okay. I know everybody out there, all you want these new levels of income. You want to generate it. Higher quality relationships. You want to enjoy them. You have the energy. You have the initiative, performance, strength. You have everything you want to follow through, completion, success, degree, your experience, boldness, confidence. You display standing up, everybody speaking up, acting up, personal increase, pursuits, ultimate conquest. Let's dissolve the fear. Let's project the power. Let's generate that life commanding power. You're in the driver's seat. Thoughts, feelings, behavior, predisposition, crucial to the journey. Are you ready to cultivate strength and mental, emotional? Are you ready to connect with this power? The realm embodies all the natural energies, right?
Yeah.
I remember I was at one of those, right? And the guy was going on, you all crave peace. This is where I lost it. You all crave peace, happiness, wealth, stealth, prosperity. Why? Because we have that innate desire to be happy, fulfilled, productive. Now, mind you, I showed up there completely depressed. We're here for delicious reason. He looks at me. I had him on my show. He looks at me and he says, what do you think, Pat? I said, stop. I said, do you really think I believe that garbage? I said, do you really think for 1 minute this kid from the Bronx that's showing up here a court half down is going to believe everything you're saying without, I mean, I did, I went off on him and I went, this was my first, I never did this again, Susan, I'm just saying, but I did. I said, do you think that you can get away with that? I mean, honestly, how much you make, this is me, how much you make, but this is where you have to do no harm, but I didn't. How much you making from this seminar? In a minute, you're going to hold up some crazy CD. 500 people are going to rush from the audience. Yep. They're going to step over each other and they're going to slap each other to get your lousy CD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't embarrass yourself. Let's get real for a minute. You want to help me and the people here? Help us face our true selves in the moment.
Yep.
Help us understand what it takes for you to be standing up on that stage. You're going to make tens of thousands of people. You got volunteers all over the place. But my voice inside of me now, because I came in here a court down, says, come on. Let's play the real game. Well, he took a break. I just thought about that today when you're speaking, because how many of us don't know how to get from those great positive messages? And actually, he became one of my mentors, one of those great, amazing messages. Then we do something that we are going to regret and cannot take back, Susan. See, this is it.
Yeah.
We cannot. Fortunately for me, I turned it around in the afternoon and I ended up getting on stage with a big testimonial, but I had stepped in it. I had let all the crap I was carrying with me and that phony baloney stuff that had been said to me so many times before. And how often do we not know how to recognize when we're fueling up on the inside?
Well,
you were in a little frenzy there with that little, you had like an adrenaline, you had like a laptop is crashing adrenaline rush, right?
I did. I totally did. I was looking for thumb drives. I'm like, I'm all over the place. I'm running out.
I think you even texted me, didn't you? I think I had a minute to say something like, back it up.
And here's the funny thing. I had backed up most of my stuff, but you know, it was, I couldn't remember when I, it was, you know, it's all that automatic stuff. But it was like just the moment of fear of it. Right. But the, what was I going to hit on with what you were just saying? Actually, a couple things was, you know, I mentioned that, you know, everybody's pressure point can be different. Everyone's pressure point can be different. And, you know, as much as it's probably been overtalked and overlooked at and over Googled, you know, the Will Smith and Chris Rock thing, that was a pressure point for Will Smith.
That was a huge pressure point.
It was a pressure point. And you know, there can be all kinds of thoughts about that, but it was a pressure point. And so sometimes it's our family. You know, you've heard things like the mama bear or a close friend of yours who's been put down, but there's a pressure point for all of us. And if only we can diffuse it a little bit before we lose it, right? And what we witnessed was somebody losing it, right? Yeah. And God bless him. I've been there. Now, I ain't at the office.
We've all been there.
But I've been there. I have been there, you know, yelling. And, you know, anger was something I had to learn from for a lot of years. And so what does it take? What does it take to turn around and say, okay, I want to be calm more often than not. I want to remain, and maybe not even calm, but I just don't want to cause harm when I'm emotionally upset. So what does that require from somebody? And there's your in the moment tools that we've talked about, some of them, and there will be more coming. But one thing that came through today for me when I was thinking was how important it is to be real with someone, whether you're coaching them, mentoring them, parenting them, but how important it can be to really let somebody know that this stuff takes work. This ain't no, you know, you show up even for a few coaching sessions or a mentoring session, or if you're in recovery, you show up and talk to your sponsor a few times and then you go back and rest on your laurels. That ain't going to solve no emotional upset that you're experiencing in your life. This stuff takes work. This takes dedication. This takes willingness. This takes looking at the humility of a situation, overcoming it, and saying to yourself, I can do better. And now I got to go back and clean up some crap, right?
Like, oh, boy.
And there's a ton of discernment that is absent when we are in an emotional turmoil situation. We lack discernment in the moment most of the time until we learn better.
Yeah.
But to learn better, you got to be willing. You got to pick yourself up. You got to be willing to say one more day, one more shot, one more phone call, one more homework. When somebody says to you that this is a suggestion or this is the homework or write that down or did you do it, and you don't do it and you go back to living miserable. I mean, we've all been there, you know, none of us are perfect, but I'm just saying it takes work. It takes work,
but it's like anything too. I mean, I knew if you'd asked me what I really said, I couldn't tell you, but I wrote it down in a paper I wrote once. And I remember thinking this, you know, Pat, you're a fraud. This is what I remember right before I opened my mouth and took it, just threw up all over the guy. And I remember thinking, you're a fraud. You know, your listeners may call you Dr. Pat, but we know who you really are. Hello. We know your past. We know who you really are. You know, we were there with you all those times. Remember? Hello. Remember that time you were totally embarrassed yourself? Oh, and your friends. How many of us can recognize that voice See, because if we can recognize that that is the voice that starts to happen, it may not be all those words, mm-hmm. but it may say something like, oh, how stupid are you, right? That's all it needs to say to you to get you jacked up. And then as you're doing this talk keeps going, you know, I'm telling you, you're not good enough, man. You don't deserve what you have. You know, the reason you can't listen to him telling you that stuff is because you fail over and over and over again. And what you realize is some people in the room are going to walk out with that gift and you're not going to be one of them, Pat. See, this is it.
Yeah.
Is it this like going on over here like this?
Yeah.
You've had too much coffee because they give you a lot of coffee and you've had too much coffee. And then you have to remember your birthday month is the month of humility. And every year you have to go through that same month, announce your birth. Every year it's going to be the same month. It's going to be humility. And then you have to remember there's a good reason, Pat, that that's your life's lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to figure out what it is. But what you're talking about is helping people recognize the nanosecond before they take that leap down the rabbit hole. And you know, Susan, here's what I think. I think we all want to point to that one event, but I'll tell you, the pressure that Will Smith was under, the criticism of the Williams sisters that was going on when that film was out, and he took criticism for it. He took criticism for producing it. He took criticism for putting himself in the role of it. And he wanted to do the best he could to really portray and honor them, including the Williams sisters' other sister in the film that got shot by a drive-by. So he carried the whole weight of this. And sometimes when you're carrying the weight and you don't have a way to release it, like a balloon, it will blow up. And something will happen to pop it. And then that's when you lose it. We all are capable. Mm. We all are vulnerable to that, aren't we?
Oh, that is. That's fantastic. So this would be my question. I would love to leave before we cut out to another break here. Is anyone listening to this feeling like they're about to burst the bubble, pop the balloon? Do you feel heavy? Are you carrying a lot? And you don't have to call us and tell us if you don't want to, but as an individual, are you able to look within and say to yourself, could I be carrying a lot? Because sometimes I know for me personally, and some of the women I've worked with, we don't realize how good we are at carrying stuff. We are compartmentalizers and experts, and we don't realize how much we can carry until we are overloaded, overburdened, and stressed out. And wondering why we don't want to eat well, we don't want to exercise, because we've been caretaken and carrying a burden of all this responsibility to the point of almost bursting. And hopefully you learn some stuff today that'll help you avoid that burst. So that's a question for the audience. How you doing today? How you doing today? All right, so we're going to go to break. We will be right back. Thank you for joining me, Susan Dene, and Dr. Pat today as we talk about staying sane during insane situations. And we will be back. Thanks.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Hey everyone, this is Susan Dene. You are here with me and Dr. Pat as we talk about staying sane during insane situations. We've talked from anything from using a tool as simple as it's not good, it's not bad, it just what is, to analyzing your very first thought when you are in the middle of what you perceive to be an insane situation so that you don't have a total meltdown. What is the first thought? Are you able to pause and ask, you know, when you reflect back on this as an exercise today for you, are you an emotional, you know, nightmare during that time? Or do you actually, can you pause and methodically look for a solution? That's one we talked about. What else did we talk about, Dr. Pat?
What we're talking about is the imposter theory that shows up in all of us. You know, when you have people in front of you trying to help you and you are so believing you're an imposter in your life that you don't even belong in your earth skin, you know, where do you go? Well, if you go down the rabbit hole of fear, if you go down the rabbit hole of doubt, if you go down the rabbit hole of dot, 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 fill it in, then you will do something next that will not serve you to get from where you are to where you want to go. You know, look, we have tools. Before the show, right, I had a little situation here and I went to one of my go-tos. It's a little book. Look at how small that thing is. Do you see that? It's called Be Still, A Treatment Against Fear, Emmett Fox. Now, I think you have to have some kind of, I don't know, maybe have gone to Bible school or something to read it. But he goes, and when things, when things are going wrong, declare constantly that you're not going to be afraid or intimidated by any outer conditions. The more afraid you find yourself, the more need is there for doing this. The most important time to say God, universe, whatever you all believe, is my refuge. I'm not going to be afraid. It's when your knees are knocking together is when you need to shut. And you see, that is like one little tool. That's like a little tool. If you can't get to, it's not good, it's not bad. It took me years to get there, Susan, honestly.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine how many times I did that mantra. But this is what, I mean, he's saying what you're saying. It's what you teach. It's what you work with. When your knees are knocking together, it's like, God is my refuge. I am not going to be afraid. That's what you say when your knees are knocking together. I mean, Emmett says it, right?
Yeah. Are you paying attention? And I think that that's the main thing. You know, are you paying attention in that moment enough to back off of yourself a little bit? to get some fresh air in, right? To get some fresh air in. And that is the, you know, learning to pause during the storm. Can you recognize it? Can you, you know, get in touch with even your inner physiology that's going on, the heart rate that's going up, the quick breathing that may happen, you know, whatever that is. And that is part of understanding you're crazy, you know, your own individual unique crazy to you. I mean, that's why I love teaching that, because it's different for everybody. You know, that's why I said some of us don't even understand the weight that we're carrying. Yeah. When we're experts at compartmentalizing, or we're experts at doing 20, you know, feels like managing all these things, we don't realize the weight that we're carrying until we have, you know, till we have a meltdown sometimes. And hopefully we get to avoid that.
Well, you know, I mean, he goes on to say some interesting stuff. This is one of my go-tos I have to read. And every time I read it, I hear something different, because he says, look, he says, the psalmist will say that through the mountains be carried the mist of the sea. It goes on really metaphorically, right? And he says the mountain always means prayer, the uplifting consciousness. And this cause makes us declare that even in the midst of our prayers, things seem to get worse. And we're praying, our knees are knocking, and it get worse. And he goes on to say that the very prayers themselves are all but swamped by our terror or doubt or despair. I mean, think about that language, swamped. Mm. Dang, that's how I felt yesterday for about 20 minutes, but no more. So this is the key that you're going to talk to next, right? 20 minutes is a real improvement for a lot of us. Only 20 minutes only.
Well, yeah. Only. So 20 minutes is an improvement, but also not having to go back and apologize to everybody in the room is an improvement.
Yeah. I didn't have to do that. And I as I was typing an email.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. email. Yeah. Like, don't hit send. Whatever you do, don't hit send. Text message, email. You know, so one of my go-tos is a book written by Jane Roberts. And I was reading about the psyche over the last couple of days. And there is a fantastic, it's not a, whatever. What it's saying is, when you are in touch, and I'm going to add to this a little bit of what we're talking about today to paraphrase, but when you are in touch with your own individual emotional health, when you are in touch with that, what happens is you receive a direct knowledge, a direct understanding of what to do next. And that direct knowledge and that direct understanding is emotional comprehension. I absolutely love that. And so sometimes our comprehension does not get verbalized. There are no words to feel comprehension sometimes. You just know, you just internally know which direction to go, what not to do, maybe what not to say. But when you have emotional awareness and emotional health within you, and this is all, you know, I don't think any of us are 100% emotionally healthy, but when we've been working at this for a while, we often have better days, more better days than not, if you want to say that, right? But when you have an emotional awareness and emotional health within you and a knowing, you have direct knowledge, and that direct knowledge is emotional comprehension. And it's a knowing within you. You know, it's a knowing within you. You know, yesterday when everything was happening, here's what my knowing told me. You know, and I usually don't use the word God too much in my vocabulary, because I'm more like spirit of the universe, things like that. But I got to tell you, it made me chuckle. I'm like, God's got a plan.
Yeah.
Whatever's happening right now, God's got a plan. And I lean on that. And that's one of my tools, you know, is I try to take the higher perspective. What good can come out of this? And I'm going to tell you what good's going to come out of this right now. So this laptop, I've had it for a couple years, and I've honestly, you know, I think earlier you said, you know, sometimes you don't know when things are going to happen, but sometimes you've had thoughts about something happening potentially. It's called intuition. And I have had some concern about this laptop going for another year or two, right? I just have. I know it's not that old, but it's
that's called intention.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been, you know, hopefully I didn't attract this crap, but I think there's a bigger purpose though.
All right.
So the guy comes in today to fix it, and it's all under warranty. And so I don't have to pay. They come to the house Wow. Which I caught them on. They wanted me to mail this thing in. I'm like, don't I pay for premium warranty or something? I think somebody's supposed to come to my house. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Mm-hmm. So guy comes to the house and super nice, you know, great energy. He sits down, and as he's figuring this out, he says, I just needed two parts. Only one came. He goes, but do you realize your battery's about fried? I said, well, will it still work, though, if it charges? I just plug it in. He goes, yeah. And I said, well, what's the battery cost? He goes, a lot less than a new laptop. And I will, point taken. So they have to replace the whole motherboard, right? So essentially, getting a new computer. Yeah. And I went ahead and called, and I've got a battery being delivered. So I'm going to have a brand new battery, a brand new motherboard. I have no fears about this laptop not making it in the long run, right? Like, I'm good. And the guy's coming to the house to fix it for me.
Nice.
I think overall, the battery wasn't covered under warranty. It was like $90, but compared to, you know, a couple grand for a good laptop, right? And so I just kind of stood back. I'm like, okay, that's what God was doing. All right. Yeah. Okay. So everything's going to work out just fine. And just reveling in that, right?
You know, what is so cool about it is the people that are listening are probably thinking there's something in their lives right now.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's like if you horseback ride and you know that your horse has got some kind of sore or some kind of thorn, right? You ever hear that? There's a burr on, mm-hmm. under your saddle. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it feels like sometimes. If we can catch ourselves at the moment where I didn't walk into that seminar happy, I walked in there really afraid. I had just been diagnosed with, I had a crippling illness when I walked in there. I had never been sick in my life, Susan. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and I loved doing the show, and I wanted to do the show on wholeness and wellness, but I had never really been sick. And my mentor said to me one time, Pat, you know what? You think you know things, but you cannot take people to a place you haven't gone. And I had never been sick. And April 1st of 2004, it happened overnight. I went from what I thought was a fabulously healthy vision questing, get out of my way, motorcycle riding girl, to I can't walk.
Yeah.
And that was the journey I went on. And somehow this gentleman came on my show early, came into the studio, and he knew what I was going through. And I couldn't take back what I said in that moment, but I could take it back later. And I told my story. I mean, I got up on that stage and I told my story. And I shared what my life was like, and I shared my addictions, and I shared where I was. And I said, I felt my whole life falling apart, that I would be taken back in time to that girl that was powerless over so many things because I've always had control of my body. Mm. And then the realization hits that you don't really. You have control of your attitude. You have control of your decisions. You know, you have the freedom within you. And I got up there, and honestly, I was supposed to talk for 10 minutes. God forbid I could do that. But I'm up there and I'm bawling and I'm crying and I couldn't even get on the stage, Susan. Mm. I had to have somebody help me. But he was a friend of mine and he continues to be a friend of mine. And I apologized and he allowed me to share that story because I had talked to him about it when he was on the show in between breaks. That was so transformative. See, there's something so powerful in truth, but yet we will deny the truth to ourselves of who we really are. We'll deny our ability to be powerful and yet vulnerable at the same time. And see, what you're demonstrating is you didn't have a meltdown. You found sanity in a moment of insanity. That's the power of what you do, Susan. That's your coaching program. That is the power of what you teach women, people. You teach them how to find sanity, even in that moment when insanity is creeping in. That moment where you can turn around instead of go forward and do something you'll regret. That's what today's show is about, because we really need it now more than we ever have. We really need it now, I think.
I think we need it now. I think the world, as we've all been in this together, it's been the one thing that, you know, if we were able to connect on a deeper level as a civilization, let's just go for the big word, we would realize that we all have this common thing that we've all walked through, no matter what side of the coin we decided to sit on during the pandemic, but we all walked through it. And now we're all coming through it, and we're all different, and many of us have changed. So many things have changed in everyone's lives, from a lot of us being office workers to now working remotely. That's a big one. How much of a voice we want to choose to have politically now. You know, I think it awakened so many of us to what we wanted to do around that or not do, right? Like, there were so many things around that. The impact it had on families who had never even seen each other because they were so busy running and coming and going and feeding the kids and going to work. And all of a sudden we're under the same roof for a period of time together. And we really get to find out how good of a marriage or how good of a relationship do we have. And some scored really high and some didn't score so high. You know, the rate of alcoholism and addiction and suicide shot through the roof. Right. And so now we're all kind of coming out of this world, maybe for out of this like fog. And it is still, I mean, it still kind of happens. I was just telling you a story about my mom and you know, and asking about her the other day about being COVID tested. And so it hasn't exactly left. So what do we do about all of this? How do we stay sane during an insane situation? I will say that constant awareness and being aware of how you operate and how you work is really the first step. It's the first step and the first clue to a peaceful life is you got to identify and you got to talk about it. You know, it's one of the reasons I love doing this show. I'm running short on time right now, so I am going to wrap up. But you got to talk about it. And I like talking about it. So if you want to talk about it, you need somebody to talk about it with, you feel free to reach out to me at SusanDene.com, which is backed up by the cloud.
And by a whole team of other people.
The whole team. Have your plan B. Have a backup. Last strategy.
Yeah.
Oh, but Dr. Pat, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for today.
Love the conversation. Love it all. Love being here. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Pull out the book.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. Like I said, you can reach out to me at SusanDene.com. Be more than happy to talk with you. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's SusanDene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.